Hey everyone, it's Lydia here. This week is a little bit different. I actually don't have a guest this week. This week it is just me clocking in.
If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years.
When I started the pod, the whole point of this was really to normalize these kind of meltdown inducing questions that hit in your 30s, like all of what do I want to be doing in life, where am I going, who am I, how are things changing, what things should I let change and which things should I not let change. And it really has been a exploration for myself and my own journey, and I guess using my guests and understanding from my guests to help guide my own kind of constant ups and downs and confusion. And it's been a real tool, I guess, that has helped me through some of those. But the last 2 weeks have slapped me in the face with the ultimate weird years. It's like it's been hurtling back to a lot of the confusion from the end of last summer, which was like the peak, what the fuck is going on time. There's been some really big life changes recently. A huge one on moving out of our rented flat and moving into another rented property, which is a house. And this, anyone who's listened to the episode with Tanya Baker on housing will know that my husband and I have historically had very different views on housing. For me, it's very much like I want a place that I can put my stamp on and make my own and be a real like reflection of my identity. And just it's always felt like something I've kind of been missing out on, is having that place that's like, okay, this is mine, it's grounded. And for him, he does want that, but he wants it in a very specific, I guess, type of house, one that comes with a higher budget, which requires a bit more waiting. So we made a compromise and we moved to a bigger place so I could get some outdoor space, but it is still renting. And whilst I'm incredibly excited for our time here, it has thrown up way more feelings, I guess, than I was expecting. I think what it is, or what kicked it off was when I was telling people we were moving, the kind of immediate reaction from everyone is like, oh my God, congratulations, and presuming that we've bought somewhere. And there's that kind of moment of, I don't want to use the word shame. I think it's a moment of, even embarrassment, it feels too strong a word, but maybe if I'm honest with myself, that's what it is, of saying like, oh, actually we didn't buy anywhere, we're renting still. And even though that's very much a conscious choice because of the kind of home we want to buy, it's just not available to us right now. It still has been playing on my mind, and I guess deep down it's connected to feeling a bit like I've failed in some way. And I think, again, as we started to move in and there's been some challenges of things have been broken, not really cared for by the previous tenants or by the landlord, really realizing like, okay, we're choosing a sofa and furniture, which might, you know, be with us for the next 10 years, but we're choosing it to fit into this home where we can't paint the walls or really make it our own. So it's just been really prominent, that kind of like life stage that still feels a little bit out of reach for us. Or even though it's a kind of a purposeful choice, it still feels like, oh, you know, all my friends are buying their, maybe not forever homes, but their next 5-10 year homes. And I see them creating this space, which is such a reflection of them. And I think I've just really got into my head around it, even things like, okay, I want to do stuff for the garden here, but really at the top of my mind is like, well, if you grow all this stuff, you know, you're not really allowed to do it here. You can't really dig up the grass. And when you leave, it's going to all be left behind. So I guess I'm just really struggling with that inner monologue and it really being tied back to all these things we are taught about what success looks like. Honestly, I feel like that's all I preach on the podcast, is how not to listen necessarily to the traditional forms of success, but actually to listen to what you really want. And then when it's come to putting it into practice of, this is the compromise we need to do as a couple, there's still that whole inner monologue of like, well, you haven't bought a house and you've just turned 33 and you might be here for another 5 years and you might not even own your first home until you're nearly 40. And I know all these things are arbitrary metrics. I know that. And I know that the world that we live in now is so different from the one that set these societal expectations, but it's still so difficult to let go of those. So I guess this is a solo episode about how things are feeling and maybe a little bit of honesty of the weird years are so far from over from me. There's also a little bit of a challenge of coming into summer. And I think summer always highlights how being the wife of a DJ is so difficult in the sense of it looks so glamorous. And don't get me wrong, it can be so glamorous and so fun because we do get to do loads of trips and we are meeting really amazing people and we're going to amazing parties and you get to wear cool stuff and, you know, you're just out there, I guess, having fun and it's very public. But summer always highlights how tricky it is because suddenly Chris is away all summer, every weekend, and it reminds me how I'm in this weird sort of bucket. And maybe you guys can relate to this. I'm in this bucket of, I'm not single. So all my single girlfriends, they tend to kind of group with other single girls and they make plans with each other. And that becomes, I guess, the bedrock of how they decide what they're doing every weekend. It's like, oh, the single girls are around, so we'll all get together. Whereas I'm not in that status, but I'm also not in the status of my partner being here every weekend. So I end up in this kind of limbo of being, of trying to work out exactly what I want to do every weekend, see friends. And again, it just gets that overthinking narrative for me, like really running. Summer is always kickoff for that. And I'm very grateful this summer that I can slow down and I can, those kind of quiet days, you know, spent with your partner where you don't really do anything, I can actually do them on my own now in a garden. So that's very, very exciting. But just lots of overthinking this week. And that's partly why I wanted to create an episode on my own, I guess, rather than having a guest and adding even more thoughts into the mix. Just a time to check in with everyone and share that whilst I might be hosting this podcast and maybe giving lots of points of view on how to get over the weird years, it is still very much alive and kicking and thriving. So if you've also been feeling this way, you're very much not alone in that at all. I think it's also like, just when the fuck do we all become our early 30s? And a lot of us like our mid 30s, even our late 30s. Like, when did this happen? I still feel mentally like I'm 28 and there's so much I want to do. And then you look on paper and you're like, wow, things are, yeah, time is moving. Time is moving. What's kind of been at the front of my mind in this time is really to connect back to self-rituals. And I know that sounds a little bit woo-woo, but that language of kind of rituals, I think, is actually really strong. This idea of, I'm the worst for setting myself up for the worst day. Like, when Chris is away, I let my phone in my bedroom. I never ever have the phone in my bedroom when he's here. When he's away, I put the phone next to my bed because in my paranoid overthinking mind, I'm like, if he needs to ring me, we don't have a house phone. I want him to be able to call me and get through if anything goes wrong or whatever, if he needs help or, you know, just generally catastrophizing in my brain, which I love to do. And then inevitably, I will look at my phone until I go to sleep. And then inevitably in the morning, I will then use my phone as my alarm and I'll probably wake up and doom scroll. And honestly, it just sets me up for the absolute shittest day possible. And I'm so aware of it. I know that I do this. I'm so aware of the cause and effect of when I wake up and I'm scrolling, I really do have such a worse day immediately. So I'm really trying to be conscious this month to connect back to rituals that don't make me feel immediately crap in the morning. And this has all been such a journey very much with my coach, Lauren, who, if you've listened to her episode, she chatted all about this kind of overthinking career changes and setting yourself intentions and rituals that just really help you rather than hinder you. So this month I'm trying to go back to daily meditation. It is wild to me to think back to like 23-year-old Liz, who would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about that you're meditating every day? But wildly effective for me anyway, as a chronic overthinker, that time to just like settle your brain and I guess look at some positivity before you're then looking at like comparison driving, like social media or whatever that thing is. And also coming back to really good movement for my body. I'd been being a little lazy and doing lots of reformer Pilates, which is great, don't get me wrong. And we love a reformer bod, or I do anyway. But it just doesn't have that same effect for my mental health personally. I need like explosive energy. And I'm out of season of netball at the moment, so I haven't been doing that. And I was like, oh, maybe I actually just feel really pent up and like this ball of energy because I've not been doing my meditation and I've not been doing my explosive, you know, gym workouts. So that's really the intention for this month. God, I'm also like 10 minutes into this and realizing how horrendously husky I sound because it is 7:30 a.m. that I'm recording this. Why am I doing that? I don't know. I just am. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Let me know what you think of solo episodes. Hopefully they won't all be quite so, maybe this is a bit neggy, maybe it's a bit reflective, but hopefully you find something that you relate to in here. And also I get so bored of the shiny, perfect reels that we all see of each other on Instagram. And I guess it's a reminder that we all have so much churning around in our brains and maybe that gives you a little reminder of let's not compare ourselves to each other so much. Next week, we will be back with regular scheduling and we have an amazing guest with Ryan Lloyd-Haynes. And we're talking about purpose and what happens when the thing that you've really rooted your view of success and perhaps a little bit of ego in, what happens when that comes to an end and what does that do for your identity and how you view yourself? So that will be back next week. And I hope you've enjoyed listening. Thank you always for your time, especially as I don't have anyone juicy sat with me today. So wishing you all the best and we'll get into it again next week. Bye.